Talk to Gary Holland this hour about the shooting in Florida. That was a lot of talk. It's all over the internet. We're being deluged. But there are some key markers to watch for in these things. We've seen them before. We're seeing them again. Now, the idea that there's one shooter, but unfortunately there are multiple reports of other shooters. What's going on? There are other indications that things aren't exactly as we're being told. Reports that the Secret Service, yes, the one in Washington, was at the high school just 4 weeks ago to change the security protocols of the school. Now, what's that about? That's not a coincidence. There's a reason for that. There was an active shooter drill in the morning, then fire drill to trigger the attack, perhaps. I think they said the fire alarms went off three times. Shots were heard after Nicholas Cruz was out of the building and in a totally different building at the school. Student phones were locked down. You saw the students treated as prisoners, marched out in single file with their hands over their heads. They were told not to use their cell phones under any circumstances. And I'm not sure they would have been able to. There may have been some EMF there to prevent it. They didn't want pictures. All right? This is wild stuff. And it gets crazier. Gary, welcome back.
Going this evening, Jeff.
Okay. It's going. And what we have here is another mass shooting and incredible disinformation already. The shooter now is identified by his family, even though he was adopted, his current family, his only family he's had, as having taken and in the process of taking SSRIs. So these antidepressants are almost invariably linked to mass shooters, almost every one of them. And I think the ones that they don't talk about SSRIs, they know, but they've embargoed the information. How does it look to you?
Same. You know, if you...
I want to thank you. On the homepage, at the top, above news headlines, you'll see the Batman image connection. And Gary put that together. Picture of three shooting suspects, picture of the Batman characters that may be used as part of the MK mind control that triggers these people. I don't know, but there's some linkage there somehow, and Gary was the first to figure that out. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, it's established in a pattern. If when I first seen his photo the other day, yeah, when they had arrested this guy, the red hair, the look on his face, the blank look, I started saying to myself again, I said, you know, this is starting to really smell fishy. Uh-huh. It's a pattern because, you know yourself, that many mass shooters. Eric Harris from the Columbine drew pictures of Arnold Crimp. You had James Holmes impersonating Arnold Crimp. This guy dressed with the red hair, the same look of Arnold Crimp. Who's Arnold Crimp? Arnold Crimp was a one-time character. It was only made a one-time appearance in a Batman comic strip in the 1980s,
right,
under the Dark Knight series, which is now they've made a movies out of. But back in the 1980s, they only were using, this was only in comic strip version at the time. Arnold Crimp was a man who went insane and was supposedly inspired by the Batman series and went on a shooting spree in a pornographic movie theater killing people. And that was the whole gist of that comic strip.
Yeah.
And these three, if you, like, that's why I put that collage together. If you've noticed, would you look at James Holmes, this Eric Harris drawing, and you look at Nicholas Cruz, they all have the same look, and they all have that same crazy stare of Arnold Crimp. And the hair is even the same. The eyes that Eric, that drawing, you can get that Eric Harris drawing, is Eric Crimp, is Arnold Crimp. You no doubt about it.
Arnold Crimp. There's Crimp. He's on the left side, the cartoon character with the red hair. And you'll see that Nicholas Cruz, who is left of him, looks like he dyed his hair reddish. It's weird. I don't know if it's his natural color hair. I've seen pictures where it's brown, but whatever.
Yep. And so you had them, you had that. And then you look on the other side where you had Jared and Amanda Miller here in Las Vegas. They shot, they're the ones who ambushed them, two Metro cops when they were eating, shot both of them and killed them. Then ran way down the street to the Walmart. And if it wasn't for a guy with a CCW, they were going into Walmart to go on a shooting spree. They were, no doubt about it. They weren't going to just go in there and just walk and do some shopping. They shot them two Metro cops. They went into Walmart. They were gun going there, guns ablazing. And I think with that 1 minute interaction they had with the CCW, where he had shot the husband, that Jared, and then of course the wife of Jared's, which was Amanda, went up behind that man with the CCW and shot him in the back of the head, killed him. Then at that point Metro had already, you know, had converged onto that Walmart over there and had killed her too. And then you had the other one in Texas, Devin Kelly. He was another one with that they went and went on that shooting spree in the church and killed 26. What they had in common is they all dressed like the Joker. And a matter of fact, if you look at the picture, especially of Devin Kelly, and you look at the picture of the Heath Ledger character, that's Heath Ledger who did that version of the Joker. Mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson did a version of the Joker too. Mm-hmm. And I during these different Batman series, you know, they
Jack Nicholson.
Yes, he did. He did it in the late 80s.
I have not seen the Batman movies. I just never got to them.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson, Michael Keaton was in, was the Batman in the late 80s. And I want to say the director at that time was Tim Burton. And I think Tim Burton did the Dark Knight series produced. And by the way, them are the ones who are always inspired by these shooters, or inspired by the Joker for some odd reason. The Joker, you know, as a character in that movies, is a cold-blooded killer with no emotion, an insane personality, you know, void of complete psychopath. And if you look at the face of Devin Kelly, he has that glum, blank stare, just like the Joker does. And so did, by the way, Jared and Amanda Miller.
Right. Well, they look like they're on SSRIs at the very least, and they were.
And my opinion is on the SSRIs, or some of them might even be on MAOIs, which are even worse than SSRIs.
Yeah.
I would assume that when you go through these mind control split personality, they're cracking your personality, they're cracking your complete being. I think the SSRIs and the MAOIs are just to maintain them until they activate them. You know,
Interesting thing. So it keeps them pharmacologically on the shelf,
neutered,
waiting to be called.
It's like a neuter.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's like they're basically pharmacologically neutered. Uh-huh. Now, what this guy was the other day, now I still cannot figure, they arrested him. He had never been shot. He was in the crowd. Obviously, multiple witnesses now are testifying to two different shooters, probably even more than two shooters, which more than likely. Uh-huh. He was outside talking to other students. By the way, why would these students lie? They've known this guy for how many years? Since that one girl, and there was another one I'd read, they had known this guy since middle school.
Yeah.
They would know who he is. They're not just saying, well, I might have
been him. He walked out of the school with the students. Now, that raises a lot of questions.
Sure. Well, first of all, Jeff, they said he took an Uber ride to high school.
Yeah.
And now, with weaponry, first of all, this guy worked at a dollar store. He's a part-timer at a Dollar Tree, okay? That's minimum wage, low-brow job. I don't know about you. I can't go out, if I was on a minimum wage job, buy an AR-15, buy explosives, buy body armor, buy all the equipment.
Well, you just said something else, too. You mentioned explosives, and that's another... Yeah. Standard operating procedure description of these people. They all have explosives. But never mind, we don't see them or they don't use them.
But they have to seal the apartments off because, you know, they seal all the apartments off.
That's their excuse, of course.
Yep, that's always a second crime scene. They've done that with, even with the Carmine, they did that even. They had the same SOP, the same standard of operating procedure. Holmes, you know, this guy, you know, the Kelly in Texas, matter of fact, Jared and Amanda Miller said had explosives in their apartment. Huh. But what the other thing that all these people have in common, they had either minimum wage jobs or no jobs at all.
Right.
And these are guys going in with thousands of dollars. I challenge anybody to go online. You can even online go to your local security stores, go to your local weapons stores and security for, where they buy security equipment and where you're as your security guards uniform stores. Go in there, go online and see how much this equipment costs. Just the body armor alone, we're talking thousands of dollars. And if you're buying explosives, you're going out on the black market, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars. You're talking high powered weaponry, thousands of dollars. So if you're a minimum wage job, Jeff, no one on a minimum wage job and they don't even give an explanation of some of these people were paying for their apartments, even like the case.
Oh, they were all they were subsidized, of course, and equipped.
Obviously.
Now, how did Cruz go into the high school with an AR-15? It wasn't in his backpack. So how did he get it in there?
Well, how did he get an Uber driver? By the way,
didn't notice.
Didn't notice nothing. He walked in with an AR-15. By the way, with the amount of rounds went off again, he would have to carry another bag just to carry this, just an ammo can to carry the amount of rounds that they said he wasted through.
How many did he allegedly shoot? Do we know? I mean, how many rounds?
17. Supposedly there was 17 killed.
Yeah.
And 14 injured. Now, let's do that math on that. We're talking, 31 shots off if he was an expert shooter. Again, but January 5th, an anonymous call went into the FBI for supposedly that was somebody that was close to him, said he was erratic, he was insane talking, they got guns from, they had said, did not know how he got a hold of guns. No one does. And no one knew anything. The FBI up and now, which is kind of strange again. Now, I don't know about you. If my next door neighbor or someone I'm close to is going crazy like that and threatening and blah, 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 and if I was to call the police, do you call the Washington, D.C. FBI hotline? No, I call my local police department.
Yeah.
But no one asked the question today. The FBI has admitted that they made all these mistakes. But the fact of the matter is, you know, who was his real handler? Is it because they were making mistakes of reports, or was a handler that they're trying to cover for? Because I think believe more of the covering of a handler than anything else. And because with all these different crime scenes, they say the secondary crime scenes, whether they had explosives, no one ever asked the question of any of these. They say, well, if you're going to build all these bombs, and then why not bring them with you when you go on the shooting spree?
At least a couple.
No one's ever.
No.
It's just common sense. What, you can spend thousands of dollars on the black market for explosives, but yet you're not going to use any of them when your final act is this big shooting spree, if that's what you're powered by rage and personal interests.
Right.
It makes no sense. What they do is the same old thing.
As far as SSRIs go, Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, who is without question the authority, Ann has been following these cases and SSRIs since the beginning. And she will make one statement over and over again. When you take these drugs, no matter who you are, you lose the ability to differentiate between a dream state of consciousness and reality. You can't tell anymore. People can slip in and out of it. I'm not talking about going to sleep here. I'm talking about your ability to perceive and relate to reality. You can't do it. So when these people say, I don't remember doing it, they're speaking the truth in many cases. I have no doubt. The drugs do that to you. You don't know what's real and what's not. So, and this guy right away confessed. Why? He was probably programmed to confess right away, and he did.
Now, well, let's look at the timeline, Jeff. Now they arrested him, put him on a stretcher in an ambulance, and for some reason took him to the hospital. For what reason we don't know. He never had a shootout with them. He didn't run away and fall down and hurt himself as he was running away from
the police.
Very
good point.
He was in the crowd. They arrested him right there on the spot. So what did they do? Well, what they did is, you know yourself, they pumped them full of hypnotics, psychotropics.
Sure.
And basically erased them, reprogrammed them into admitting something that he didn't do. And, of course, what ends up happening with these people is, you know, they'll sit in there for 2 or 3 years, clean themselves up, and then start getting a little bit of memory back and start putting the pieces together. And then by the time they figure it out, they're already on the gurney to get the death penalty. You know, and that's when they're on the execution table. And then that's when they got it all figured out. But at that point, it's too late. See, they're doing this for reasons. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of...
Well, this is another anti-gun slaughter of humans to try to take our weapons away. It's not inciting the people to scream and yell about the evil of guns like I expected it to. Even the anti-gun mainstream media is not reporting on it. Not like I used to see. I think people are getting wise to the game now.
They're getting wise to the game, but I think I know what they're doing, Jeff, and follow me on this. They've tried for years to grab guns. That ain't going to work. They know that. But what will work and what the sheeple fall right in line with is with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And then who's the one who makes the decision who's mentally ill and who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole point. If you can decide... communist countries used to do that. If you were a political dissident, they send you to the mental home to re-educate you, to brainwash you, whatever your problem was. They said you had mental problems, and they always labeled you as being insane. That's what they want. Because the easiest way to instill some type of gun control is the easiest way is just do it through the mental health system. Because anybody could qualify for to be mentally ill, and what's going to be the bar of a mentally ill person? If someone tells their doctor, "Well, I'm feeling nervous lately. I just have a little anxiety more, and I'm a little bit more stressed out at work." He puts down on the paperwork on your medical record, mentally ill. You're done forever.
Oh, that's all it takes. All you got to say is anything that would suggest that you're psychologically stressed, and you're done.
And of course, the ones they mainly would love to get rid of as a danger, what they've always labeled as a danger, is returning veterans. If you remember the MIAC report, returning veterans are the biggest danger
to this
country.
They want those people disarmed for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And you get labeled PTSD. And look, you don't even need to ask to be labeled PTSD anymore.
It's automatic, right?
VA will automatically write down PTSD, show signs. You don't need to say, "I have this and that." As long as a doctor at the VA says, "Show signs of PTSD,"
you're
labeled PTSD,
right.
And that's it. Because
you got no guns, nothing.
Nope. Oh, they've already done it. You know, VA bureaucracy has sent letters and saying, "We know you own weapons. You're a PTSD veteran.
You're a threat.
And right now you're violating the law of owning weapons, and we demand that you turn them in. There's been veterans who have gotten lots of letters like that.
Wow.
And it had nothing, no judicial hearing, no judge, no jury, just a bureaucracy of the VA. And we already know how the VA is. It's just a death center. So, you know, if you're going to have them people deciding what's best for veterans,
right,
you already know what shape that's going to end. And I can personally attest to that. So, and you got to, you know, this is a very strange time we're living in. It just really is. It's getting more stranger by the day.
Apparently, beyond strange. And the reason it's beyond strange is because the control that is being exerted right now over every living soul in this country, and maybe most of the world, but especially here, is so damn thorough and so insidious, it's really mind-boggling. And I don't understand it all, but I do know that it's coming through every conceivable outlet of EMF, Wi-Fi, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Cell phone towers, smartphones. I think the electric grid has been a carrier for a long, long time of EMF to control people, to influence how they think, how they respond. We're electrical. We are electrical beings, and there is a frequency and an electrical set of circuits, so to speak, in your brain that can be manipulated and accessed at any time by these people. Anytime, whether it's satellite or a truck across the street.
Yep, and when you have these MK Ultra type, and like you were talking with Jay Widener last night, saying, "Yeah, it ain't called MK Ultra anymore, obviously." But that's, what else could you label it? Because we're not privy to top secret information. We're not privy to the insider privy.
Nope.
So we can only label what we know.
Right.
And these people there's, I would say, thousands of these type out there, and they can be activated at any time.
They're on the shelf, waiting.
They're robots. Yeah. They're all automatons. They already know their genetic signal. They have their genetic markings. They know when and why but like you said, there's always a drill attached to these shootings. There was a drill. If there ain't a drill, there was some type of fire. Like the fire. Now, my other question is, that fire alarms have been pulled three different times.
That's
that
right.
In that
I caught that yesterday.
Now,
why?
Yep.
Why? How does that happen?
And who pulled the other ones?
Exactly.
Before he had even showed up to this school. Who was doing that? So usually what they do with these patsies is that they don't have no weapons on. Here, my impression was probably what happened. He was completely zonked out. They activated him just like, you know, he jumped in that Uber car. They gave him a ride to the high school. Because let me tell you about, I don't know, you know, people should just realize, you look around your own city. These schools now are basically penitentiaries. They're not the warm, welcoming schools from 30 years
ago
and beyond.
No.
You go to these schools, they have high fences, Jeff, security guards all over the place. And for me to believe that that high school, of 4,000 that went to that high school, did not have roving security in Broward County, Florida, outside of
They had
of
security
Miami,
that passes for
please.
Students, by the way, okay?
Exactly.
So
undercover.
Always.
They have school police.
Yes.
And so, you know, for all these things, you know, for them to say, well, he just walked on the school grounds, walked into the building, and was able to walk through like nothing, that's a loaded, you know, lies. It's just crap.
I agree. All right, hold on a minute. Gary and I will be right back in just a few minutes. About the latest mind control, carefully orchestrated, set up slaughter of innocent people. Soon you'll begin to see the crisis actor stuff. no bodies. Why don't we see pictures of bodies? We don't see enough ambulances. We're not seeing people carried out. When people die in a shooting like that, they don't remove the bodies for usually around 24 hours until they've done all their forensic work. Although in this case and the other cases, the forensic work, we never see much of it. We only see and we're only told what they want us to hear and to know. And it's not much in many cases. But you look at the faces of these children, and that's not a joke. It is what it is, you know?
Nope. And one other branch off of this story was the Zionist liars of the ADL.
Oh, yeah, they jumped right away and created that. Tell them what they did. Tell them.
They jumped so fast at that story that their yarmulkes popped off. And they said he was a white supremacist. Now, here's the weird part of this story. Now, I catch Stormfront Radio in the morning sometimes, and all them gentlemen on there, honorable gentlemen. Now, supposedly, this is the way the story went. 4chan, which is, you know, is that, and 8chan is that, that post, that site, that website that people just put anonymous posts up. Now, supposedly ADL, once someone at the ADL caught it, then verified it by calling. Now listen to this. The ADL representative called what they called the head of the white supremacist group up around Tallahassee in Florida, the guy named Jared something. And they said they talked to him personally, and he confirmed that he was part of the white nationalist movement. First of all, Jeff, how many people... I know personally, and I know a few in the white nationalist movement. You know people in the white nationalist movement. I was in the Stormfront Radio. I was in the David Duke. How many of them people would sit there and have a conversation with anybody from the ADL? Here's what they would do. Hi, I'm from the ADL. Click, hang up. This is as fast as they would do it. They would never talk to the ADL. So right there, I would call BS. And supposedly, this Jared guy... no one knows who he is. I was listening to Don Black this morning on Stormfront, and when he was talking about it, he goes, I've never heard of this guy before. No one in the white nationalist movement has ever heard of this guy. No. And supposedly, up in Tallahassee, supposedly they've heard of him. He has a long criminal record, supposedly, and he was just trying to make a name for himself. But then the ADL, now here's what happened. Now, ADL puts the story out, and every mainstream media
instantly carrots it.
Of course,
right?
Instantly carrots because they have the back phone line to any newsroom they want.
That's right.
It's just like put the story out. It's not even questioned. Nothing. Basically, they're PR people.
And then when they have to back down and refute it or retract it, nobody covers that.
No, then it's in the classified sections.
If that.
And they bury it on page 99 in the classified section.
That's exactly what happened.
But even if they bothered. See, that was the point that Don Black was saying this morning, Jeff. He was making the point, like, they put this lie out. Like, and just like the lie of in Charlottesville that it was the white neo-Nazis who started it, which wasn't true. And he also made the case of also Ahmadinejad in Iran when they old lie that's going around when they were saying that Ahmadinejad had said that he was going to wipe Israel off the map, which he never said.
Ahmadinejad never said that, and I've refuted it here on the program with factual data, trying to turn it around, but it doesn't matter. Once it's been put up on the mainstream media marquee, it's a done deal. He said it.
Yep. Even at the time, New York Times admitted he never had said that even. But the fact
is, they
keep putting the story out for so long after and they don't retract these stories most of the time, and they leave them on Google search.
Yes, sir.
And when you do Google search,
absolutely,
that will pop up first.
Yeah, that's right.
So they keep that story going. So now this story will be going. I guarantee right now if you went out and said, hey, that guy went and shot people in Florida, I heard he was a white nationalist, you wouldn't get anyone who said back to you, well, no, that story wasn't true. You're going to say, yeah, I heard it. I heard that online, and I read that, and I heard that on this. That's all you're going to hear because they're not going to retract that story because that was part of, again, that's part of the narrative. Because, you know, look.
They had it all laid out in the beginning.
Yep.
That story of white nationalism was released within minutes, I'll bet, of the reports of the shooting.
Oh, it was. If you remember when I sent you that article, Jeff, That shooting hadn't even had an hour of shelf life before the ADL put the Zionist lie out that he was a white nationalist.
Perfect.
And that was the first thing. And SPLC even tried to join in, chime in on it.
Yeah.
Another wonderful organization. And they just keep the story up. And then, you know, and you would think after all these lies over the years that ADL is putting out, they would lose any credibility, which they have none, zero. But to the mainstream media, they're like 100% credible. Because they are ADL, so it doesn't make a difference. It's
here's a story from I won't name this site, but it's a suspect site in the alt media world. Gosh, you look at that guy. His brain is all screwed up. Okay, here's the headline: how white nationalists fooled the media about Florida shooter. See, now they're blaming it not on the ADL or the SPLC, which actually did release the first verbiage on it, that he was a white nationalist. They're blaming it on white nationalists themselves fooling the media. Fooled the media. They lied about this guy. They claimed him as their own, then they had to refute it. Following misrepresentations by a white nationalist leader and coordinated efforts by internet trolls, numerous researchers and media outlets spread a seemingly false claim that the man charged with killing more than a dozen people at a Florida high school belonged to an extremist group. Law enforcement agencies say they have no evidence so far to support this claim. They did say that a few hours after the claim was made. And the rumor appears to have been perpetrated by white nationalist trolls themselves. No, it was released by the SPLC. Let's see what they say here. On Thursday afternoon, the Anti-Defamation League reported that a white supremacist group claimed ties with Nicholas Cruz, which they did. They claimed, but the group didn't, who confessed to the shooting spree, blah, blah, blah. So you see, it's all twisted up, and people can't follow this. Who's on first, you know? They don't know.
Nope. And see, again, How does that work? Well, what they do is they make it look like it's white nationalists with no heart, and that they were doing that as
heartless.
A cruel prank.
That they want to kill our kids, and they're they're not only anti-American.
The kids got killed in school.
They're anti-human. That's right.
And blah blah blah.
That's right.
And then it turns the ADL back into a credible organization, not the Zionist liars that they are, because they're the ones who put the original lie out. Saying, and, you know, in SPLC, then the ADL ran with it, saying, we called the white. Now, again, I got to laugh. When the ADL said they confirmed it by calling themselves personally to that supposed white nationalist leader, and he actually had a conversation with
his name is Jordan Jarab.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan Jarab, I guess that was his name.
Yeah.
And saying he had been on a phone conversation with them. No white national would ever be talking with the ADL.
Not unless he's a ringer.
A ringer, exactly. More likely that someone who's not no leader of anything and making a name for himself.
That's right.
Whatever you way look at it. But it doesn't matter. It's just the fact of the matter is the story will sit out there now, and the ADL will take no credit for being a lie. They'll take all the credit, though, for, you know, putting the disinfo out, which that's what they wanted in the first place.
Here's what
they try every time. You ever notice, Jeff, though, they've been trying as hard as they can. Every time there's a mass shooting, white supremacist, first thing out of their mouths.
Just about.
And they just keep putting it out for
Well,
a
they're
reason.
Doing the same
you
thing
know,
they did.
Don't care if they're wrong.
Since OKC, they're making the word patriot a dirty word. That's what they're doing. Patriot is a dirty word. The ADL subsequently revised its report, as did many news outlets. And here's a quote now from an ADL spokesperson. ADL shared information. The ADL shared information from our experts on extremism and claims from white supremacists that we believed could be helpful to both law enforcement and the public due to the fluid and evolving nature of the events. So they released this obviously bogus lie in the middle of a very turbulent and crazy news cycle, knowing full well it would be picked up and put up at the top of the story, which it was. Now they're saying all we did was share information from our experts and extremism. That's all we did. We believed this information could be helpful. It was, they didn't believe anything of the sort. They knew. It's all a setup. It's all manipulated. Nothing is left to chance in these events. Nothing.
And we all know ADL, the Mossad front. So obviously they're just they're Mossad spokesmen. And they're so-called experts, which is funny again, because they're experts who are supposedly an expert in domestic extremist groups would know. The first thing experts would know is that no one who runs who's in any leader of any white nationalist group would talk to the ADL.
And they would furthermore never say anything as stupid as, yeah, the guy's one of our group. Even if he was, they would deny it. I mean, come on. It's just dumb.
The beautiful thing about the militia movement and the white nationalist movements, there is no central leader to anything. One group doesn't know what the other group's doing.
It's designed that way for a reason. They're split.
Because, you know,
all
yes.
split. Go ahead.
Split. And on top of that, again, they wouldn't be blabbing who their membership is. They don't tell how many they have. They don't say who they are. They don't confirm anything. And no one would do that. So when the ADL came out with that story, it was just bald-faced lies. But you see how they twist it, Jeff? They do this every time. Twist it into they're the helper. See, we're the warm, fuzzy, trusty ADL. You could trust us. We're out to help. We're just a poor community organization trying to help, trying to do our part to help in the crime. And that's what we're trying to do. When really what they did is put out disinformation lies, another anti-white propaganda lie from the Zionist media helpers of theirs. And that's what it turned into. It just and then of course, like I said, the retraction will end up on page 99 in the classified section. Don't get the retraction. You won't read it. They're not honest because nothing. There is no honesty.
No, the headline sticks. Everything else is just noise. They don't hear it.
Yep.
Too bad. Sad. But it's the same old thing. What we're seeing here is another choreographed, rehearsed, contrived sacrifice of human life. Another human sacrifice. That's what it is. They've got this thing down to a science now, you know.
Oh, they do. And I want to, you know, since 1999 Columbine, I look back in the history books. How many mass school shootings or mass shootings were there before then? I remember there was one in the early 80s at a McDonald's down in San Diego, and that I do not remember what the reasoning from that, what that guy did that. But other than that, you really rarely would hear that. It's becoming the norm now. And I was even talking to someone the other day, and I said, you know, back years ago, weapons, guns, rifles, everything was way more readily available. They used to have high school rifle teams. Okay, and they were weapons were way more easy to get years ago. You didn't have that problem, so you would say to yourself, "There's something going on here. There's a pattern, and the pattern is it seems like it's becoming more frequent, and there's a reasoning behind it, and there's a power behind it. It's just that all of a sudden, people decide, you know, I'm going to start doing mass shootings now." Throughout history, it wasn't like that. And all of a sudden, they're just doing mass shootings since 1999. The frequency rate of it's been increasing tenfold. And no one says to themselves, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? It's more than just someone just being depressed in a high school. I mean, ever since high schools have been invented, there's always been bullies and there's always been people being picked on. That doesn't change. And so that has nothing to do with anything. And they always try to say, well, they've been bullied or they're the odd kid out. Well, man, I mean, when I was in high school, I was in high school in the 1980s, and there was a lot of odd kids out and a lot of kids that were bullied. But they weren't running. And that was going on probably when you were in high school.
Oh, of course.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
So all of a sudden, there's... when weapons are a lot more harder to access in this day and age, they're easily accessible to them only.
Right.
They're getting them with full blazing body armor.
Was he allegedly wearing body armor?
Oh, that's, they said how they tracked him down is they found his weapon, and he had an arm in, like a bulletproof vest.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how they tracked him down through that, and then found him in the crowd. He got out with the crowd, and they found him in the crowd. And he was arrested without incident.
Pretty hard to believe, right on its face. I'm surprised they let him live. They're supposed to be killed, these suspects. They want a dead body. They want a dead shooter. The media, it's easier for them to handle the whole game. So he's alive now. We'll see what happens.
Send him, pumped him full of drugs, got him to admit something.
That's very interesting that you got that. They took him to a hospital immediately. Yep. No way would that happen to another shooter, unless it's part of a plan. They would take him right into the police station. That he'd be cuffed. They'd probably beat the hell out of him. You know, whatever.
But they had to take him and had to pump him up, make sure the story got straight. Then he was released back to the sheriff's custody and then he was ended up in the jail. But if you see the time he's on a video showing going into the act where the police had transported him from the supposed hospital to receiving at the county jail, it was already nighttime. And they had arrested him during the afternoon. So for them, hours, what was he being seen for? Because he wasn't injured. He was not shot.
No, he didn't even have a scratch. Nothing.
He was standing in the crowd with the other students. So what would be the reason to put him on a stretcher? Of course, strap him down. Because I think if I remember reading in a couple of articles, he was strapped down to the stretcher, tossed in an ambulance, and was taken off somewhere.
You know, another thing, one girl who was with him, talking to him, said that, you know, wow, I'd figure you'd have been the one to do that. And he said to her, huh?
Yeah, like in a daze.
Exactly. Huh? I would do that? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Huh? That was his reaction. Yeah. Nobody picked up on that. I played it twice last night. His reaction, according to her, was, huh? Now, you can take that two ways. One, he's kind of shocked that no one would understand that he was the shooter. Or two, he didn't remember doing it, which is far more likely. That has, and Blake Tracy has reported that exact thing in multiple of these mass shootings over the years. When they're on these drugs, they literally don't know what they're doing.
Which is the reason why they're on the drug and why they're
giving. Of course, absolutely.
And more than likely, took the Uber car to the high school with no weapon at all, was programmed to show up to that school as soon as they got the activation code, whatever they use.
Could have been the fire drill.
The trigger point. Yep.
Fire alarm.
He shows up to the school. He's wandering around in a daze, blackout daze. Comes, snaps through, joins the other students. And of course, now, again, Jeff, think about this. He's insanely crazy. He hates all the students in this school, but manages to then lay his weapon down, lay his body armor down.
And start hanging out with him.
And then start hanging out and talking to him like everything's normal. And, by the way, leaves the weapon in plain sight so someone can find it for the police to go find him in the crowd.
Uh-huh.
You see the insane, again,
yes.
It's starting to turn into another Las Vegas Stephen Paddock shooting story. Again, all roads lead back to the master of all screw-up stories, which is the Las Vegas shooting. But you're going to see the same holes get bigger and bigger over the weeks. But see, all they need is time to pass, and it'll get out of people's memory. People don't even remember the guy. How long ago was the Texas shooting? It wasn't even that long ago.
Nobody could remember if you asked them.
No.
They wouldn't know. No. Attention spans are so small now. It's crazy. The rate of news and events is overwhelming. People don't remember. They have no attention span to speak of.
Don't remember. All they remember is what joke they've seen on Facebook, what actor is, you know, screwing who.
It's all the big laugh. And, you know, they love the big laugh. It's the big laugh.
Yep. And that's where the story goes. And this story is going to be the same way. And you already know it's going to be in the dustbin of history within 2 weeks. No one will remember this guy's name. No one will remember anything about it. And the story will move on. And then it'll be only time they'll be reminded is when another shooting happens. Well, Sandy Hook, you know, if I had a dollar for every time they mentioned Sandy Hook in these shootings, I'd be a millionaire. Because because they keep the first thing I kept hearing the other day when this shooting happened, it was Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook. They bring that.
Oh, really? See, I didn't hear that.
I've heard a few times, Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, and then a couple of talk hosts, Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, drone the Sandy Hook, Sandy Hook, and then they keep mentioning the same story over and over again about Sandy Hook. They don't even bring Columbine up anymore, because Columbine's way out of the past. Remember, because that was the thing they used to bring up.
That's like Model T's.
Columbine.
No.
Yep.
Ancient history.
Yep. And then they're going to, of course, on Valentine's Day, there was some already calling it the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Right, yeah. Well, they like to do that. They just, no coincidences. It's a perfect handle, and it's sitting there, and they used it. Absolutely.
And of course, they had the explosives at his place, the mobile home he was living in, so then they had the scrub team come in, just like all the other mass shootings, by the way, too, where they had to do a secondary investigation at the apartment. And you know yourself, Jeff, what they're doing is going in there, scrubbing anything possibly linking that patsy back to whoever ordered what the event. And then that's what they're doing. They go in there and they do the scrub team, and then that's it. And then they leave it where it is. It goes to history. The media just dumps it, forgets about it.
Okay, let me prove the point here. I'm looking at foxnews.com. First story, nope. You got Newt Gingrich making a comment about it. Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 more stories. Nope. On the left column, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th story on the left column, a soundbite. That's it. Out of at least 15 stories. So you got one story in probably 45 stories on the homepage of Fox. So it's already starting to fade.
Which is why Mueller put out that 13 and Rothstein.
Oh, absolutely.
They had that stupid indictment today on Russian.
No, they just changed. They changed the headlines.
Silly for commenting on Facebook.
Yes, sir. Yeah. They change the headlines every day. Keep people's attention even shorter. Wow. See, the average person can't focus on more than two or three major news stories a day. The big story, of course, is Korea. We're facing maybe a nuclear war in weeks. That's not in the news now. Gary, thank you very much for the time and the analysis. You're right on, as always, and we'll watch it. We'll watch it.
And you have a good evening, Jeff, and be talking to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Gary Holland in Las Vegas, and that's our program tonight. Okay. Have a great weekend. Take good care of yourselves. We'll be with you on the stream. You can hear the program around the clock. And Sunday night, the best of. Back with you Monday. Another week. Where did it go? I don't know. All right. Take care. Talk soon.